Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a very special one, right, Stone?
I certainly think so. I've been looking forward to this for some time. You know, Nancy has become a regular here. Nancy Corpenny, welcome back to the studio.
Oh, it's great to see you guys again.
Now, Nancy, this is a NABO 40th anniversary special edition, and thank you so much for putting this together. You got quite a crew in here.
Oh, I am so pleased to have some colleagues from around the country here, because NABO, which is the National Association of Women Business Owners, as you mentioned, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary year this year, and that is pretty neat.
That's quite an achievement for any organization to make it 40 years.
Agreed. Agreed.
So now, can you share a little bit about what is NABO mission purpose?
Absolutely. And I know that some of the folks on the phone will similarly be able to chime in. NABO started in 1975. Basically, a group of women wanted to remove the obstacles standing in the way of women business owners thriving. Mm-hmm. And so they began this organization in some regards as a lobbying group.
Because there were some actual legal hurdles, right, that were preventing them from doing things that today would seem like common sense, right?
Absolutely. And I'm going to let our chair of the board,
talk
board
about
of directors.
That. Okay, maybe this is a good time to introduce the guests you have here.
I would love to. First and foremost, Darla Beggs, who is the president and CEO of ABBA Staffing in Dallas, Texas, is serving this year as chair of NABO's National Board of Directors. You want to say hey, Darla?
Welcome, Darla.
Hello. Thank you for letting me join you this morning.
We appreciate your being here.
Who else you got?
We have here in the studio, we have Jill Peck, who is the president of the Atlanta chapter of NABO.
Welcome, Jill.
Thank you so much. Very glad to be here as well.
And Jill is a partner in the firm Henderson Shapiro Peck, a marketing firm here in Atlanta. And last but by no means least, we have Joy Lutz, who is our director for advocacy and public policy. And she's calling in from Washington, D.C.
Of course she is.
Exactly. Good morning, everyone. Where else would I be?
That's right. We love you there, Joy.
Thank you. Same here. It's a privilege.
So, Darla, I don't know if you might like to add a little bit more to explain what NABO is and you know, why did we start?
Well, if you're old enough to remember 40 years ago, and I am, women entrepreneurs had some real challenges. We have over 5,000 members and 60 chapters nationwide. And one of the wonderful things about the NABO organization is that we are open to all women entrepreneurs, regardless of your sector, your size, the stage of your business development. So those women who are in the startup phase, all the way to those women who have very mature businesses, join NABO and are welcome at our table.
So now, Nancy, what compelled you to get involved?
I started my business 9 years ago as a corporate refugee and realized very quickly that it was really lonely out there being a business owner. And I needed some support, and I found NABO on the web. I had never been to a meeting here. But reading on the NABO.org website about its purpose and mission and vision, I knew that this was a group I needed to get involved with. What I found locally was a group of women who were phenomenally generous with their time and support. And the organization itself has provided education, peer mentoring, and business alliances that have been absolutely invaluable to me.
Now, the philosophically, the pay it forward and supportive nature, was that was important to you?
Absolutely. And one of my NABU friends from Philadelphia told some of us at our annual conference this past fall, when we asked her, how do you explain the difference of NABU from other organizations, she struck this pose where one hand went up in the air and the other hand went behind her. And we kind of wondered if she was sort of showing modern dance moves, but what she explained is very much what Darla was saying, and that is women striving for success, reaching for success, and also putting a hand behind them to pull someone up behind them.
Now, Jill, you're the Atlanta chapter chair, right?
I am.
And what makes a woman a good candidate for membership?
So a woman who obviously owns her own business or is a partner in a business makes a good candidate. And I believe, as Darla said, it doesn't really matter where you are in your business. So if you are a year or two into it and you're looking for support, or you've been in it, as I have, 20 years, and still looking for that support from other women.
So now a group that is that broad based in terms of membership, you have, you know, executives like you, seasoned veterans of the business world, and you have people that are just starting out. How does that dynamic work in the, you know, when you have meetings and when you all get together?
Well, as Nancy just said about the hand forward, pulling people up. So it's a very good opportunity for mentoring for us that have been in the business for a long time. It's also an opportunity for leadership for people that are just starting in their businesses, serving on the board and on committees and being part of the NABU organization. So being involved allows them to grow and to lead in ways they may not be able to.
Now, but from your business standpoint, is that sometimes business owners want to be around other people that have the same experience as them? Like you've kind of been there and done that, there's still a compelling reason for you to stay involved in this organization. Is it that giving back and supporting the others who are just starting out? Is that?
Well, it is the giving back, but also there are plenty of members that that are seasoned like myself. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a nice balance, and so I am also mentored as I am mentoring others.
Now, Nancy, as being part of the national board, you have to kind of serve both of those constituencies, right?
Right. So, I play a couple of roles, both as a director on the board, but also as chairing our President's Assembly, which is the organization of chapter leaders.
Okay.
So there's 60 chapters, there's 60 chapter presidents, and I and a wonderful team of other past chapter presidents kind of provide a conduit between the local chapter and the national board, the national organization. The other thing that I think is important to realize is that nationally, NABU is really a virtual organization. We exist in 60 chapters, but the nationally, our primary function is really being the voice of working women, mm-hmm. women business owners. Whether or not you're a member of NABU, our work in advocacy and public policy impact every woman business owner. And it really is part of NABU's DNA. That's why and how we started.
Right.
So it's more important than I realized at first. That's one of the reasons I'm delighted Joy is on the line, because she is a very passionate and capable leader in this regard.
Now, Joy, can you share a little bit about some of the advocacy that you're working on and what public policies are impacting women business owners?
Absolutely. I think there's, you know, some traditional as well as maybe what we would say less traditional business issues that face our members, because they are so diverse. And I think the strength of NABU really lies within that diversity, within the difference of opinions, experiences, et cetera. And yet, as the ladies have alluded to, what really unites them all is their desire to make life better and easier for both current and future women entrepreneurs. We really see that throughout. Our members are optimistic and enthusiastic, and they just want to help. And I think public policy, advocacy, whatever word we want to use, allows them to impact positive change and or remove obstacles from the community level all the way up to the country level. Here in D.C., we focus a lot on what we hear from our members. We have a great relationship with them. They never hesitate to reach out if they have issues that need to be addressed. And I think what we hear a lot about is access to capital so they can either start and or grow their businesses, making that easier, making it more available to them. Because we know, again, when women, when entrepreneurs do better, they give it back and everyone else does better as well. So we look at access to capital. Obviously, tax reform, which is a big buzz phrase out here again every couple of years. A lot of our members, you know, don't pay the corporate taxes, but pay, you know, personal income taxes. So that's an issue, as well as regulatory environments and those sorts of things. One of the great things that happened in the last Congress with regard to government contracting, which a lot of our members have been able to have great success in, is that we've empowered women entrepreneurs to have what we call sole source authority on government contracts, which basically just means they don't have to pair up with another woman entrepreneur to secure those very valuable contracts that will help them grow their businesses and give back.
Now, Nancy, you mentioned when you were just getting involved with NABO, you didn't realize the importance of the advocacy side.
Absolutely. And I think that that comes from, you know, when I first learned the real history of NABO. And as we've heard back in 1975, and like Darla, I remember it well. I didn't realize that in some states, women business owners were not allowed to sign their own financial documents without a male relative co-signing. And that male relative did not need to be part of the business. He just had to have equipment.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that something?
Well, it's something you would read it like as a kid in your history book that you would think would happen 100 years ago.
Well, and one of my favorite things is to tell people that is one of the prompts for NABO to start. These dozen women business owners in D.C. who were very successful and could not expand and develop their businesses because they were being held back. And so they began lobbying, and it led to the passage of the H.R. 5050, the Women's Business Ownership Act, which actually did a variety of different things, but most notably, perhaps, is it made it law that women could sign their own financial documents. One of my favorite tricks is to say to people at cocktail parties and such, what year do you think that was? And they guess all over the board, and nobody gets into the 1980s, much less October 25th, 1988, signed by Ronald Reagan. And that one blew my mind. And I said, you know what? That's an organization for me.
And that organization, that's part of what differentiates itself from other women's business organizations, right?
Absolutely. We really cover the waterfront. And as Joy was saying, we have issues about insurance and taxes and things that are of general import to women business owners. They may also be of importance to other small businesses and men's small businesses too, but we are very selective about the issues that we want to support widely. And then, of course, there is public policy on the state and local levels too. And Joy, you may be able to mention some of the activities in chapters where they are really making public policy a big part of their activities.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to always give the credit back to our chapters because we have some phenomenal public policy leaders there as well. We have a fantastic chapter in the Des Moines, Iowa area. Iowa, has had a really bad reputation for being a bad place to do business as a woman entrepreneur. And so our chapter there is working on some tax credits and tax incentives to, you know, try to incentivize more women entrepreneurs to come there or get started. Our chapter in Minneapolis is doing a great educational series on financial issues and working with their legislators on access to capital issues. Our chapters in Florida, I'm so proud of, are banding together to do a NABO Day in Tallahassee to work with legislators there and get on their radar about what issues matter to women entrepreneurs and obviously NABO members specifically. And then I would say, too, out in the New Mexico area, they have a very robust public policy agenda where they're tackling issues like tax pyramiding that affects a lot of their members who are in the service sector. So I would say our chapters are the experts. They're phenomenal. They know what issues are impeding their business or what incentives would help them, and they're going after it, and we're so proud of them.
Now, Jill, here in Atlanta, how would you describe the climate here for women business owners?
Well, advocacy is something that our chapter is just starting to dabble in now this mm-hmm. year. And so we actually haven't been involved quite as much as I'd like to see us. And that is one of the reasons that I stayed on as president in 2015, is that continuity in trying to build that area of our chapter. So we're just starting to get into it.
Is it something the members are clamoring for?
The members aren't necessarily clamoring for it. There's a sect of people that would like to see it. But I think it's more about educating. And as Nancy said, you know, we all benefit, whether you're a member or not,
sure.
from NABO. So trying to be part of that locally and seeing how we can help our own businesses and tell that story as we're out there recruiting new members.
Now, what are the needs of the Atlanta chapter? Are they coming to the group and having needs like, I need more finance, I need more money, I need more employees, I need more business?
All of that. And so let me say a couple of things that we do as a member. We have a CEO roundtable where presidents come and they meet once a month. And so it really is like a board of directors, mm-hmm. and all of those issues together are what we're talking about. And so there's a way to get support and sort of guidance. We also have affiliates, and some of the affiliates that we work with help on these issues, for example, on finance. And we have an organization that we're an affiliate with called ACE that helps women business owners find financing. And so it just sort of depends on the issue of the member, but there is a way to to meet those needs.
And you're trying to be a good resource for whatever the need
for,
is.
Really for whatever it is. And I think our affiliates help us do that. We also do a monthly breakfast forum, which also gives a voice to the women and trying to get their issues resolved.
Now, Nancy, you mentioned that NABO Atlanta and NABO in general, it's a volunteer-led organization.
It is. There's a lot of passion there. And whenever you want something done, you go to busy people. Mm-hmm. And goodness sakes, women business owners mm-hmm. are that. But I think that, again, what we find out very quickly is that the more we engage from the outset, the more we receive. It becomes our own mission to help other women after we ourselves have been supported so much. And it really does depend, I think, on where you are in your business life cycle. If you're starting up, you really are focusing on just a few things, sort of making sure.
Right, you got to survive, right?
Right.
You're in survival mode.
Survival, absolutely. And it's as you grow and expand and see the possibilities that I think you really begin to understand the potential of a national organization, even on a local level, to support and expand your options. And that's what I always try to do with my clients, is expand options. That has been one of the most extraordinary things for me. When I went to my very first NABO annual conference, which was about probably after I'd been a member for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. So you were a member at a local, and you were just taking advantage of all the local activity and
right.
resources.
Well, membership, I actually had a national membership because mm-hmm. our membership isn't divided. You're a NABO member.
It's NABO, and then your chapter right. might be where you live, but you're a member nationally.
Right. And national provides all sorts of opportunities that are expanding and expanding, too. So there are some amazing amazing member benefits for women business owners who are in startup or who are wanting to grow. One of the biggest ones is we have partnered with an organization called Maui Mastermind that does virtual coaching. And NABO members receive that for free. And that's a 24
for free?
For free.
Wow, that's just worth the membership by itself, right?
Right? It's $2,400 if for most business owners who want to do it. And
wow.
We have several members who have started that. This is a fairly new program. And it is really a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I think particularly for women who may not be or have access to a major city or an SBDC or a graduate business school, there are just some amazing learnings there. So that is great for those early stage folks.
And some mid-stage ones too. I'm
absolutely.
Sure.
And it's when the businesses are more mature that some of the other partners really come in. And that's where I think also advocacy and the importance of it is clearer.
Right. The advocacy seems to me that that's the kind of underlying activity that's happening that's kind of raising all the ships, right? Because that's where the rubber hits the road.
Yes.
You know, and then you can really impact a lot of lives.
It's quite remarkable. My first trip to Capitol Hill with my fellow board members was really eye-opening because the legislators and staffs there were very interested in talking with us.
I'm sure they were.
because we are that voice.
Right.
And it has been wonderful to also be that that first call that the White House makes when they want to talk about what's going on in women's small businesses.
Now, do you have any stats on the numbers of women business owners? Do we have an idea of how large a constituency that is?
Actually, one of our national corporate partners, American Express Open, does an annual report that is actually prepared by a NABO member and advisory council member.
Keep it in the family.
I totally, yes, absolutely. A woman named Julie Weeks, who is the CEO of Womenable, and a past director of research for the SBA. So she does all of the data collection and reporting on for American Express's annual report on the state of women-owned businesses in America. In fact, according to that report, Georgia leads the nation in the number of new women-owned business starts and has since that report started.
Congratulations, Jill. Good work.
Well, thank you so much. Take all the credit. Absolutely.
Look, it was on your watch.
It was on my watch. That's right.
But there are over 11 million women-owned businesses in the country. And women are starting businesses at a faster rate than men are. And even though we've heard in the news that the number of small businesses being started in total have gone down, not women.
And now, is part of that that the women like the flexibility of kind of controlling their own destiny with their own business?
I think that is a big chunk of it. I wonder if Joy has any thoughts about that, too.
I think that's definitely part of it. I think it's definitely cultural. But I also think a lot of women, a lot of our members, have spent a lot of time in corporate America, and I think you're right. They're looking for that flexibility because women are multitaskers, and women entrepreneurs are no different. Our NABO members are not different. They are tremendous accomplishers and multitaskers, and I think that's definitely a part of what we're seeing is that they want the flexibility to do everything, to take care of their families, to run a business, to impart their expertise and help others, and I definitely think that's what we're seeing in those numbers. And like I said, I think NABO members are optimistic and enthusiastic, and I think that's in part why we see the number of women entrepreneurs rise in distinction with the small business numbers in general that stalled out during the recession. In fact, women entrepreneurs were one of, I think, only two groups who continued to grow during the most recent recession. So it's something to definitely be very proud of.
Now, is Navo an organization that a woman should join prior to launching their business?
I'd like to throw that one to Darla.
Well, thank you very much. We certainly encourage women who are thinking about starting a business to join us and talk with us. As Nancy and Joy and Jill have alluded, there are educational programs on the local basis that are just beyond anything you're going to learn in business school. So we have folks who come in and talk to us about contracts, about your local laws and your state laws, how that impacts small businesses. We have tax people come in and speak to us. So certainly someone who's thinking about joining a business or starting a business, excuse me, is going to get a big education in a short time period that may help them decide whether or not it's the right course of action for them or not. I think one of the mistakes people make is everybody thinks they want to be their own business owner until they actually have to deal with being the business owner.
Jill, I have a question for you. Can you walk us through a woman that is thinking about going out on her own? Maybe she took some time off to raise her kid and now is kind of going to come back. She has an idea for a business, is going to come back into the workforce. And she hears about NABO and then she wants to join. Can you walk us through that?
I haven't actually had anybody come and say, that's not true. We have had people that are there and that have attended events, and I've heard them say, I'm thinking about starting a business. Generally, what I've seen in our members is they have already started, they're dabbling, and so it's not just from a conception of, I'm thinking about doing this, what do I do? We do have organizations that we partner with that can help bring people along in that way with a business plan and so forth. We're not really necessarily suited, but through the program that Nancy just described as being a mentee, that you could learn that.
Right.
And so really, I think it just depends on the specific needs of what that potential business owner is looking for and then how to direct them. So I don't have a specific answer. I think it depends
So then the more typical person is somebody who has a business.
Who has a business.
And so they have clients.
They have clients.
And then they hear about this and then they decide to go to an event, a NABO event.
That's exactly right. So they'll come and sort of try us out. They may come to a networking night or one of our monthly luncheons and just learn and start to network and meet other women. And they find sort of kinship, if you will, and generally are comfortable enough to want to come back and to join.
And then once they decide to come back and join, then you kind of nurture them and then kind of encourage them to take part in leadership and get involved in maybe chairing a committee or being part of a committee.
All of the above. And that's right. And as we said, it is a volunteer organization. So we all have our own businesses that we're running in addition to volunteering for the organization. And so it's not really about what can NABO do for me, but it's also about what can I do for NABO? How can I get involved? How can I be part of? And that's the best way is, as you said, either sitting on a committee, volunteering for one of our events, and just being there.
And then I would imagine that the person that feels or doesn't embrace that, they're just probably not a good fit for NABO, right? You want to be an organization filled with people that do want to contribute and be part of the community.
That's absolutely right. I think you get the most out of it when you put the most into it.
Mm-hmm. So now, in the Atlanta chapter, can you give me an idea of what the ratio of kind of these newer business owners are compared to the veteran business owners?
I'm looking over at Nancy, and I'm thinking, how does one answer that? I think it's kind of 50-50.
I think you're about right.
I would say.
Is that the same nationally?
I suspect nationally we have more women business owners at who have very mature businesses, too. Mm-hmm. That is something that we're looking for in NABO Atlanta, to be, you know, our angels and mentors.
So you're looking for more veteran women business owners
exactly.
to be part of the room?
This is a wonderful opportunity for women who have had a great run and who want to find some other younger or just less experienced women who are very serious about business. Mm-hmm. This is not a bridge club. This is women serious about business. And everything that we do is also about that relationship in business. Mm-hmm. So it's not about sharing leads. It's really about getting to know one another's businesses. And we find that the more we know about one another's businesses, the more supportive we can be. And it's been lovely to see some actual business alliances and partnering going on between our NABO businesses. And I think that's only going to expand as we pull our national membership together using some of the newer tools that the national organization is rolling out.
So you're trying to integrate national with the local chapters?
Well, and really make the local chapters feel as though they are part of this national organization. Right. We've just are launching this year, and it's been in a beta test, something called Mentor Cloud, which is actually a platform that was developed out of Silicon Valley, is used in a lot of educational and corporate organizations. And NABO has been using it for its chapter leaders for the last few months, sort of testing it out.
Right.
But when we roll this out to our 5,000 members, all of a sudden, we're going to be able to go in and find out, you know, I need somebody who is an expert on X. And as a woman business owner and a member of NABO, when I find a service provider, I would prefer it to be a NABO member.
Exactly.
Right.
So that is going to be a huge help.
And then so everyone's Rolodex is about to explode, huh?
Exactly. And with pre-screened folks who have been vetted.
Right.
And you can go in and see how long have you been part of NABO? Have you, what has been your participation
right.
in your chapter?
And encourages that participation. Because
absolutely.
All right, Jill, if somebody wanted to join the Atlanta chapters or website?
It's naboatlanta.org. And we also have a very popular Facebook page, and it's NABO Atlanta.
On Facebook, on
Twitter, and on the web, naboatlanta.org, and nationally, it's nabo.org. Mm-hmm. And I would invite everybody to stay tuned in the next couple of months because NABO nationally is going to have a very different look, partially in celebration of our 40th anniversary. But right now, there's wonderful material on the web to tell people background about our history. We have some terrific videos, and we invite people to sign up for our Facebook pages and LinkedIn groups, and again, all one has to do is Google NABO.
N-A-W-B-O.
N-A-W-B-O. And it is, thank you, because we've been using that word, our acronym, and yes, it is N-A-W-B-O.
Oh, and I can spell that, Lee.
Thank you. So now, if somebody wanted to join, the fees, is it different chapter to chapter, or you said this is a national organization? How does that work?
Yeah, it is. It is slightly different. It also depends on whether you are an emerging business mm-hmm. or an established business. And we would invite people to, again, go to nabo.org.
And then you can find the location anywhere in the country.
Exactly. You'll find the closest chapter. There's a map as well as a way that you can put in your city or and for those areas where we don't yet have a chapter and we are going to
be growing. We need chapter chair people, right?
We do. there is a membership that is called a member at large. Mm-hmm. And those folks are allowed to and invited, in fact, to join. And they actually get a little bit more TLC from our national staff.
Because they might be the catalyst to actually start a chapter in their market, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Cool. So it's big year for you guys.
We are excited. We really are. I have seen such dramatic growth in this organization in terms of enriching the experience. We're really looking forward to our annual Women's Business Conference, which is the annual NABO conference, because, of course, again, it's our 40th anniversary.
And where is that held?
It's going to be – it moves around the country so that we can be in all different chapters, but our San Antonio chapter is hosting us, and this is going to be big stuff. Absolutely. We start with a leadership boot camp, which is a day before the actual conference gets underway. And there are workshops for folks, and as well as opportunities for them to work with their peers in other chapters.
Wow. And that, how long is the event?
It's a 3-day conference. And we do it starting over a weekend because, again, business owners have a tough time being away for very long, although we know this far enough in advance. I'm looking forward to it. And we actually do those leadership boot camps throughout the year in different locations. Mm-hmm. In fact, in 2 or 3 weeks, we will all be in New York City. For the leadership boot camp that's being held there. And then in April, we're going to do one in Sacramento, California. So we get around. And in March, we have NABO Public Policy Day in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill.
There's never a dull moment.
Oh, there's always it's always something going on with NABO.
All right. For anybody who would like to join, that's NABO.org. You can find your chapter that's closest to you at that website. And thank you, Nancy, for putting this together.
My pleasure. Again, thank you for the opportunity.
The NABO 40th Anniversary Special. Thank you, Nancy. And thanks to all of our guests and the Business Radio X family. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.